James Booker, 128 Beechwood.
National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History 2, I'm Selma Weiss and Howard Braun is here interviewing James Corker, September 30th, 1996. Well, we're going to start with your first entrance into this world. We don't need this because he's going to start us. So if you want to tell us about when you were born and about your mother and dad, your family.
I was born February 18, 1928, in Pittsburgh, in West Penn Hospital. And my parents were Dorothy and Ben Coker. And my father was in the wholesale men's clothing business on Penn Avenue.
And were they born in this country?
They were both born in this country, yeah. Dad was born in 1898 and mother in 1902.
If you can tell us, what about your siblings?
I have one brother, his name is Alan, who was born about 3.5 years after I was.
And is he living in Pittsburgh now also?
Yeah.
And what does he do?
What he does is run a company which is in the cleaning supply business. It's called L&M Coker, and they're on, I believe, Penn Avenue.
Okay, if you can tell us something about your home life, your young years, your school, where did you go to school, if your family was religious, that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, when I was young, we lived in Morningside. We lived on Manistee Street and Bishop Street. And we lived across the street from my mother's mother, and two doors away from her brother. So it was a very congenial family atmosphere. And another aunt and uncle lived with my grandmother. And I went to Morningside School. And then when I was 11, we moved to Mount Lebanon. And I went to the Washington School at Mount Lebanon. And I lived there until I got married in 1950.
Washington School?
Washington School, yeah, on Washington Road. And then I went to Mellon Junior High School and then Mount Lebanon High School. And our family was not particularly religious. We belonged to the round, B'nai Israel, which was a lovely building. After I graduated from Mount Lebanon High School, I went to Carnegie Mellon for a year and then to the University of Pittsburgh. And I majored in physics. Then after I got out of school, I couldn't get a job as a physicist. I only had a BS. That's no good, if you're a physicist. I was very interested in electronics. That was my hobby since I was about 11 years old. So I got a job running a cigar stand in the Clark Building, and I did that for about 9 months. Then RCA opened a factory to make home radios. And I went to work for that factory in Canonsburg, Pennsylvania. And then Janice and I got married.
Say that again. Where did you work?
Canonsburg, Pennsylvania.
Got the job in Canada.
Yeah, at RCA. We made home radios. For tubes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was there about a year, and then I got a job working on radar sets at General Electric in Schenectady. That was 1952, I would guess. And then we went up to Syracuse, New York, and lived there for a couple of years.
Let's go back a little bit. Wanted to ask you about growing up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
If you remember anything particularly special or different about growing up in the city. And also, what kind of things you did, as a teenager, if there was anything special that you...
Well, when I grew up in Morningside, the big impression there was having the family around us and the family relationships, and they were very nice. And our own, my whole impression was our own little world, all the things that little boys do then. When I moved to Mount Lebanon, then I went into a school system that I think had a much more enriched program, and my interests became interest in science and music and things like that, and that then became my world, and I had friends that were interested in the same sort of thing, and of course our family was not around. There was a much more quiet neighborhood, you know, the houses were separated more, and it was a beautiful neighborhood. We moved there in 1939, lived there during the war and so on. And so that's pretty much, I didn't think of Pittsburgh one way or the other, you know, to me it was the only thing I knew, but it had no character. When I was about 17, for the summer, I went to work on the P&LE Railroad, and this was during the war, you know, the troop trains coming through, and it was loading baggage cars, things like that. And that's when kids would do, you know, a man's job, because they weren't enough men around. But that's, you know, am I answering?
Yeah, right, fine. Was there a Jewish community in Mount Lebanon
There was no synagogue. There was one in Beachview, which my uncle had started, and that's where I went. And but my parents believed that they should belong to Rodo Scholem, so that's where they had two memberships, you know, and that's where they went on the high holidays. They didn't like the little synagogue, but it was where I learned Hebrew. But there was a very small Jewish community. Then after the war, it grew. And then, you know,
what's the name of that one?
Pardon me?
Which shul was that, the name?
The name was Bethel in Beachview. Bethel.
Okay.
And your uncle, you said, started
the synagogue? Yeah, he was one of the founders, Charlie Coker. And he lived there, you know, this little community all his life.
Were you bar mitzvahed?
Yeah, at Bethel.
Were you bar mitzvahed?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I was an indifferent scholar. I could tell. And I used to bring my science books to Hebrew school to read them. That was my.
Well, you said you got married and you married Jana. So
yeah.
Let's hear how you met her.
Oh, I met her at a party at Carnegie Mellon, and she sat across from me in a place, you know, a little nightclub. Started to talk to her. And that was
it. Carnegie Tech yet?
It was still Carnegie
yeah.
Tech, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that must have been in 05. Oh, let's see, how about 1946 or so, 46, 47. We knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
And what year did you get married?
1950.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so now you can tell us about, well, let's hear a little bit about Dana. We know she's a great artist.
She's a great artist. Right. Well, she was in
the kids, you know, the kid born.
Well, we'll get to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll stop interrupting.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Just go.
Well, first, you know, it was, our parents knew each other. You know, it was a friendly family atmosphere among the in-laws, and I think everybody thought it was great that we got to know each other. And
what was her maiden name? What?
Siner. She was Harry Siner's daughter, Harry and Eva Siner, and S-E-I-N-E-R, and they had a business on Fifth Avenue, wholesale women's clothing, and it was called Siner and Coker, and it's a different Coker. Our family. It was, yeah. And everybody thought she had, when we got engaged, became engaged to Philip Coker's son, who was her father's partner, who was my age, but it wasn't so.
It's funny.
So, yeah, it is funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, very much the feeling of, you know, the contained community and all that sort of stuff that, you know, you knew people who your parents knew, and you know, all that was still very much a part of everything then. And Janice is a painter. She took painting and design at Carnegie Mellon. And I had taken it for a year, and that's how we met.
Janice,
J-A-N-I-C-E.
I see.
And tell us about your children.
Right, well, we have four children, and the oldest is David, who was born in 1953, and he's a lawyer. He's a partner in a firm in San Francisco. Obviously, he lives there. And we have two grandchildren who are now around 10 and 6, two boys. And the next one is Harold, who's about a year younger than David, a little more than a year. He's an architect, and he's a principal with WTW, which is in Pittsburgh, so he lives here.
Excuse me?
Harold.
Yes.
Hank.
Does he have, is he mayor?
He's married, but no children. And then the next one is Ruth, who lives in Pittsburgh. She's a professor of law at the University of Pittsburgh. And she's married. She has one little girl, is about four or so, and a little one four. And she's pregnant again.
And what's her name? Who is she married to?
She married to Ed Ible. And I think it's A-B-E-L. And he's a Canadian, and she was teaching in the University of Toronto for a couple of years, and that's how she met him. And she was 2 years after Hank. And then the last is Sarah, who lives in New York. She lives in Hoboken, New Jersey, and her husband works on Wall Street, and that's just about a 20-minute ride under the river, you know, to get from Hoboken. Through the Hudson and she has three children now. The oldest is six, I think about six and three and two, something like that.
And what's her name? Who's she married to?
She's married to Joe Moskowitz.
All right, so we got as far as you graduated Carnegie Mellon.
Right.
You want to start from there? No,
I graduated from Carnegie Mellon, then I went to the University of
Pitt. Yeah, what did you do in the University?
I was in the Pitt, I was
at BS. Not on the football.
BS, no, hell no. BS in physics. And I got out of there in 3 years. I went through the summers and all that stuff. I don't know why I was in such a hurry. And, and as I said afterwards, I told you the story. And I, after General Electric, and I came back to Pittsburgh and worked for Union Switch and Signal.
Oh, wait, after General Electric?
After
but
General
Electric. But you did GE, oh, you mentioned
GE, the radar. That was it. I worked as an electrical engineer, though I never had a degree in it, but I knew enough about it, more than most. Because I knew electronics, which was sort of a new science then, and electrical engineers often didn't study that yet. They do now, but they didn't then. So, in any case, so then I came to work for Union Switch and Signal in 1953, and
where
in the out there in Swissville, and we lived at the end of Beechwood Boulevard, you know, overlooking a high-level bridge. And today we live at the other end of Beechwood Boulevard. So I have to say it's taken 40 years to move from one end of Beechwood Boulevard to another. So I worked there for about 4 years. And then in 1957, I went to work for a little company, a small company, in the instrumentation business. It's called J.W. Fecker, F-E-C-K-E-R. And I came in as their first and only electrical engineer. And the company grew. And in 1964, myself and two other fellows from J.W. Fecker, with local financing from Henry Hillman, who's a local venture capitalist, we started our own company. And it was called the Gertz Optical Company.
Say that again.
Gertz Optical, G-O-E-R-Z is the way you spell it.
G-O-E-R-Z.
And the name, we actually bought the company from someone who was a small company. And we started to build it up. And we merged it with other companies. And finally, my partners left, they were older than I was, and all sorts of things happened, but finally it got to be a company of about 1,000 people, and it was called Contrava Skirts. We sold it to a company called Contravas, C-O-N-T-R-A-V-E-S, and I left it in 1987. I was at that time I was president and chairman of the company. And I started our present business, which is a venture capital partnership. We started in 1985. I was still in the Contravas at that time. And we've had a number of partnerships, and we invest in small technology companies.
Mm-hmm. Are they all Pittsburgh?
Now we have an office in Washington, D.C. So we're primarily Northern Virginia, Southern Maryland, but one company in Detroit, another in Boston, and then some around here. And we manage about $45 million of investment right now. We're raising a new fund.
What's the name? Do you have
The name of the funds are CEO Venture Fund. Mm-hmm. We call them 1, 2, 3.
Well, that makes it easy enough.
And in this business, you raise, you know, succession of partnerships. Partnerships usually last for 10 years or so, and you make investments and you cash them out. And then my job is to, you know, work with the companies, see that they grow properly, be a member of the board of directors, you know, evaluate management, all those nice things that venture capitalists are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read that you got a lot of honors, and maybe you can tell us something about. Don't be modest.
I have to remember.
Tell us about the honors that you received.
Well, I've had a number of awards for, you know, entrepreneurial activity. That's really what they're all about. And,
can you name some of them?
Well, I had the, the entrepreneurial award that Inc. magazine gives. I had that once, and I was also.
What year was it?
I think it was maybe 85 or 86, around that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also had the, I was mentioned by Newsweek as one of the, whatever it was, 50 entrepreneurs in the country. This is getting, and, you know, a lot of little local ones that I don't, you know, various organizations get the award. It's not as important as how many successes you had in your investments. You know,
mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you have any questions about his career?
He did
there's one thing probably.
I'm sure there's a lot of other things.
Yeah, the most important thing is that I was one of the founders, and I'm currently the chairman of the Pittsburgh High Technology Council, which is an organization of about 1,200 people now. We started it from scratch in 83. And it's an organization of the CEOs that have technology companies in this area. And my whole political and business push is to see that more of such companies grow around here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
To your family life.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about what you'd like to do just with your family, the vacations, the hobbies, the religious education that
your
children have.
I'll answer that one first. They all went to whatever the name of the Temple of Man. My oldest daughter refused to be confirmed because she thought that all the work towards the confirmation had nothing to do with religion, and so she get confirmed, and the boys were had bar mitzvahs. And, you know, that was a, it's a reform synagogue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what we liked as a family then and what we did, well, we, when the children were, lived with us, the one great family sport for everybody except my wife, except Janice, was to go ice skating. And in the coldest nights, we would go ice skating outside of South Park. I always loved ice skating. Did that when I was a kid. And what I like as a sport, I've always swam like you do. So, kids learned how to swim naturally, and I still swim. And what Janice and I like for recreation, we play tennis. We belong to the Fox Chapel Racquet Club, and we play there, you know, in nice weather. And we also shoot, we both like to run too, and she runs with me. We always had tickets to the opera, to the symphony, and to the ballet. We like that. We take certain vacations. We like France. We go to France in the late spring. We go to a little village in the southern part of France. And
which?
It's Saint-Tropez. That's where Brigitte Bardot is from, Saint-Tropez.
Oh.
That's where she did.
Did she paint?
When God created women. Brigitte Bardot does not paint. Now, Janice doesn't
no.
paint.
No. Does she paint there?
No. She'll take pictures sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Paint pictures, by the way. And Janice speaks French very well, and I speak ungrammatical French. But we like theory. We like the village. We know the people there. It's
mm-hmm.
just great fun to be away and isolated from here. Years ago, you'd be more isolated than you are. Now you can have dial telephones and things like that. Now you can dial U.S. directly. People can call here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do in the spring. And then in the last 2 weeks of the year, we always go down to Palm Beach and stay at the Breakers and play tennis. We play tennis in France, too. And we have friends that meet us there. Friends are all from New York. People would know.
Mm-hmm.
We always say we act like a bunch of kids when we're there because we dress up and you know,
right.
do all that stuff. And we do that, and then we travel to the West Coast at least 3 or 4 times a year to visit David and his children. I have business there. So, and then we go to New York too a number of times a year. Again, I have business there and see how it's. So that's, we're interested in, we keep a wine cellar and we're interested in dining in nice, very nice restaurants. That's fine. We like to travel to the same old places over and over and over again. And we don't like sightseeing, we like places where we do things. You know, we can go on the beach or play tennis or swim or something. And ate at our favorite restaurants. So that's. Mm-hmm. Am I answering the question?
Yeah, right.
You did very well.
Do you do anything? Do you have anything that you do in the community aside from?
From all the stuff.
From
I
all,
did.
The, all the other.
Yes, I am right now. Let's see. I have to remember everything. I'm a trustee of Penn Southwest. That's an economic development mm-hmm. group that brings new companies. Trustee that I'm a board member of the Pittsburgh Regional Alliance, that is a consortium of the economic development agencies that are.
And board member of who?
Pittsburgh Regional Alliance. Yes, and that includes a number of economic development groups that are better members to that. Okay. Then I'm a board member of McGee Women's Hospital. That's one of my favorite organizations. Terrific, and that's where 3 of our children were born. And I'm a board member of the Blue Cross of Western Pennsylvania. And I'm on the advisory board of the Pittsburgh Cancer Institute.
Okay, you're busy.
And I think that's about it. And then I'm chairman of Pittsburgh High Tech Council, yeah, I said. I'm a board member of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Industrial Resource Center, which is another economic development group.
Southwestern
Pennsylvania Industrial Resource Center. It provides engineering support for manufacturing, small manufacturing. I was a founder of that organization. And I'm the chairman of the Pittsburgh Biomedical Development Corporation. I was a founder of that, and they invest in small startup biomedical companies.
You got that up?
You got all that. I used to be on the executive committee of the Allegheny Conference.
Wow, sounds like you've done it too much time left for work.
Some
are you interested in politics?
Oh, yes, very much. Very involved.
And how are you involved in politics?
Well, a couple ways. First, there's certain candidates which I support and, you know, work for their election and raise money from. One of them is Tom Murphy. I've known Tom for years. Supported him on his first time when he lost to Sophie, and obviously supported him a second time, and he's a good friend, I like him. I was also active with the last governor, what's his name, I forgot,
Casey.
I was on his economic development advisory board.
Anybody else?
But I, from time to time, this is a little, Bill Coyne, I always give money to him. Mm-hmm. And Arlen Specter, and Wynn Wofford was very active in the support of Harris Wofford, you know, who was senator for a while. And when good old John Hines was still around, when I supported him. Well, I have various points of view, and I make them known. I'm very concerned with the economic growth of this area, and that the politicians understand what should be done and really see that they do it. So I know the current governor too. I've known him for years. So Rich, and I've given him money also.
What's that? Were you in the Army at all,
no,
or in the service?
No,
really. Just
I was too young to be in World War II, and I was married to the Korean War, when they started the draft.
Yeah, it's your birthday, February 28th.
1928.
All right. I have some interesting...
Makes me a young man.
Yeah. All right. I have some interesting... questions for I see here. What do you view as your most significant accomplishment?
I think my family, the children, the whole family.
Okay, and what about your career accomplishment? Is there any?
The career accomplishment, I think, the fact that I'm known in my...
Doesn't mean anything to you.
Okay. I'm known and respected in my, in my field, in the venture capital business, and in the small, technology company business, and particularly in the economic development organizations that were formed to foster, the growth of the smaller companies in this area.
Is there anything you would have done differently?
Who knows? Can't answer that.
Okay. And another question I have is, how do you contrast Pittsburgh today
as when you grew up. I know technology is a lot different, but is there anything else you'd like to say about Pittsburgh, the city?
Well, you know, when I was a child, I would say that things were much more formal, and, you know, there was a Pittsburgh, even though it was dirty, cleaner than it does today, you know, and there was, more people around, and that sort of thing. And it was, I felt a very healthy economic environment. And it is today, too, but you feel very much that a certain portion of the population just doesn't participate in.